Hey, we're live, pal. A little bit early, actually 3 hours early today. You can blame me. I have an appointment during the time that we record that I had to adjust because, as people know who've been listening to me on Wrestling Observer Radio, my family has been stricken with COVID-19, and Andrew knows all about that. So we're here early. This is your second show in a day. You're on fire
today, man.
Second show
in like... I went like 2 hours with Mat Men today. We did like a long, early Mat Men. Now going right into this. So back to back shows.
Well, get them out of the way, right?
Listen, also, you know, we had to do a show. It's a big show tomorrow. AEW Grand Slam here in Queens, New York, my hometown. I think it deserves two shows.
You'll be there.
I will be there. I got my tickets. Same seats as last year. I'm paying like $100 more per seat.
Yeah, they were underpricing tickets last year, and we're big paying time for it this year. Which, hey, you know, they learned and they know now what they should be pricing. Yeah, because our our All Out tickets were definitely more expensive than last year.
Oh, big time.
Hey, they figured it out. So we're going to talk about the Dynamite Grand Slam show. And then I guess it's going to be a long night for you because there's like an extra hour of Rampage, too. You're going to be there for a while.
I don't know if I'm sticking for Rampage. last year, I left early. I saw the Danielson and Kenny match. And yeah, that was really... I had a big meeting the following day. I actually, coincidentally enough, I have a huge event I got to be at on Thursday. And I got to drive like an hour and a half into upstate New York or Western New York. I guess upstate. I don't know what you call it. Rockland County. It's like on the Jersey border. I got to drive like an hour, 15, hour and a half to go to this event. And it's an entire day event. So I don't know if I'm going to stick till midnight. I doubt I'm going to stick till midnight. But you know what? All the matches I want to see are on Dynamite anyway. You know?
Yeah, it's a really packed Dynamite card, like as far as the wrestling matches are concerned. Rampage has a lot of matches, maybe not necessarily the ones that you want to see the most, but it should be an excellent, excellent, not only live show, but, you know, two TV shows as well for them. But like I said, we're going to come back to it because the first thing we're going to talk about is I went to Monday Night Raw last night. And I will say, I have been very negative on WWE TV tapings because I feel that in the past, now this is before going last night, they're just overly long and boring and nothing happens when the cameras are off or commercial. And then I went last night and it's a completely different experience. When is the last time you went to a TV taping?
SmackDown for that 9/11 show that they had, like that special event that they had on 9/11 up on at the Garden, and then they had SmackDown downstairs. I was there for that.
Okay, I've been
probably,
to some.
Yeah, that's
really...
the last TV taping. Yeah,
I've been to some great Raw shows in the past. I go back to 1998, Stone Cold Steve Austin against Ken Shamrock in the main event. That was the first Raw I ever went to, but. The last two Raws, the last Raw I went to before this one was, I believe it was the Raw after WrestleMania 31. So that was the WrestleMania in Santa Clara. That was just a boring show, like nothing that I remember really happened. And then the one before that, Sheamus was champion, and this was in the beginning of the 3-hour Raws. And I just remember being with my kids. I think my buddy was with us and like goes to commercial. Nothing happens and you just sit there and you watch darkness and nothing is going on. And I was like, God, this is so terrible. So that's all that I had in my mind going into last night's show. We had great seats. We were, if you saw the Kevin Owens match, early in the match, he gets tossed into the barricade. I don't think they got that actually, they didn't get a good shot of it because we were right there. So we're like second row on the floor, right next to the barricade. Fantastic seats. And just an amazing, amazing time, not only to be there up close, but the wrestling was good. How did the wrestling translate on TV?
It looked good. No, the show, it was a fine show. It was a good show. Uh, I You know, how was the crowd? Actually, let me ask you this. How was the crowd? Because it sounded tremendous. A little quiet. It was tremendous. See, I think at times it didn't translate like that. And everybody I know in that building said, no, it was a loud. It was a loud audience. People were into it.
So this was the trick. When they went entrances and then started the match, they were able to keep that heat from the entrances. And then it made the match hotter. But when they went entrances to commercial, and they did this during the Street Profits and the Brutes match, the crowd just, they're trying to figure out, like, okay, like, we know nothing's happening. And Montez Ford did like a mannequin pose for like 2.5 minutes. He just froze, like he didn't move.
That's what happens. It's like Toy Story, you know.
But then they start the match, and of course then it started cold. Not because, I mean, the Brutes are still sort of a new act. That might have been the first time they were on Raw, or like one of the few times they were on Raw. But the match started cold. When they were able to go entrances to match, the crowd stayed with the match.
They're into Sheamus, right?
The hottest pop of the night. So Bailey, who's the hometown girl, Independence High School, East Side San Jose, her main event definitely got the most crowd noise. Nearing the end, we got a "Let's go Becky" or "Let's go Bailey, Bailey sucks" chant going, and it was really good. But the most heat, Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, that sounded like it. I was actually surprised how much heat was in that segment.
So I had people text me wondering if they were juicing the crowd noise. And I was like, no, like, and you can even see it in Dom's face, because he's talking and he hears the heat and he starts smiling as if to say, oh, my gosh. And that was really fun because, he's so young and new heel turn. Yeah. And, you know, they're carrying him a little bit because he hasn't developed that character yet. So Rhea is really carrying that act, right? Rhea is tremendous. And Finn and Damian Priest, like, I think like their whole shtick is to just be long and droning and boring. But in the ring, they were really good. But once he started talking about pops, and look, Ray did all the work earlier in the show setting up that whole thing. Once he started talking about pops, the booze just rained down, and I started to see it in his face. On the Fight Game Media Twitter, I was just posting photos all night. I got a really good one of his S eating grin that he just loved it. It was great. Okay, so the thing that I noticed is as a way to keep the crowd going, they did a couple of different things. And this is why I asked you if you'd been to a TV taping of late, because I'm interested if they did this when you went. So you know how on our Twitch stream, when Brian goes to commercial, Denise Salcedo has pre-recorded little fun videos? Okay, yeah. So you know who played Denise Salcedo in the San Jose Arena there? None other than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Interesting. Okay.
So they have these little 2-minute videos with him and his previous guests, so DDP, Bully what? Ray, Bobby Lashley, and they would do these like quick videos. So Bully Ray had to remember Austin would give him two names. Who did you put through a table? It was like Rock, Brock Lesnar, and Bully Ray would go Rock, and then he would like name what the show was. And so it was really fun because who doesn't like seeing Austin on screen, right? Like,
of course, so
smart. It worked beautifully because the crowd is just into these Austin videos and, you know, late 90s, early 2000s WWE as much as they are into the live product.
WWE has figured out what MLB figured out, I don't know, 20 years ago, right? Because that's a baseball thing. In between innings, you do like the contests and you do the games and you do all that stuff. I can't remember if they did that. I know that they would do it at house shows before the show would start, that they would have like these trivia contests on the screen. But I mean, that's a smart idea. It keeps the people engaged, right? You're not... You're constantly focused in on what's happening.
And you're playing along with the game as well, because you're trying to use your old WWE history brain to say, oh, gosh, I remember what happened? Like the other one was, did this person get hit with a stunner or a cutter, DDP's move. And so DDP had to remember, did he hit someone with the cutter or did Austin hit him with the stunner. And they're that's like, sometimes there were like both, like they got both of them. And then someone said, I think one came up and it was like Undertaker or somebody. And DDP like starts laughing. And I was like, yeah, because they didn't let DDP even barely punch the Undertaker. Yeah,
anything to him.
So
isn't that unbelievable? They had this man debut. I mean, world champion, right?
Stalker.
One of the most like fan favorites of the late 90s in WCW. Like I was, obviously I grew up here. WCW was like the bad guy, right? Like that's how it would always position being a Northeastern wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. But like DDP was like, he was the good guy of the good guys. He was this cool guy and they made him into like a pervy stalker.
Yes. Yes. Classic. That was not the greatest. There had to be some backstage stuff going on in order for that to happen, because that was terrible. Okay, so a couple other things that they did, and we'll kind of move on a little bit to the show, because I'm interested to see how as the TV show, like I saw what I saw, but I'm interested to see what you thought about some of the stuff that they're doing, because the whole show is the build up to Extreme Rules, right? So so then during another TV timeout, all of a sudden, who's the ring announcer? I forget this guy's name. I've mentioned this a couple times, and I keep forgetting his name.
You're putting me on this. I don't know who the ring announcer is.
Young, handsome guy, great voice.
Aren't they always?
Yeah. Look, he's good at his job. So,
Mike Rome.
Okay. So he goes, all right, everybody, get your DX chops ready. And I was like, oh no, is he gonna get all of these 40-year-old dudes to start crotch chopping, you know, the screen and stuff? But no, he just wanted people to put the X up. So like, okay, that's not as embarrassing as when we were doing crotch chops 20 years ago. But then so they play the D-Generation X music, of course the people go crazy, everyone's putting their X's up, and then at the very end he does get the crowd to do the suck it chant. So I'm not sure
I think they did that when I was at the Garden too. I think they did like a DX thing.
So the last one, and this one didn't work as great, which kind of tells you the fan base that was there. So they play the Cena music, right? Play John Cena music. They get John, they're trying to get everyone to do the You Can't See Me, and the people don't really play along. And do you know why they're not playing along? Can you guess why they're not playing along? All they want to do, all they want to do is sing the John Cena sucks part of that song.
John Cena sucks.
That's all they want to do.
Yeah.
It's funny because had John Cena showed up and been there, they'd have gone crazy for him. But as is part of the game, When you hear the John Cena music, that's what it has become. So that was some of
no
the
kiss
stuff.
Cam?
No kiss cam. They did have a sign cam, though. Who had the best signs in the arena?
I wonder if they're encouraging signs again.
There was a lot of Bailey signs, obviously, again, being the hometown girl. George Kittle from the 49ers showed up. So he was there. I think they probably showed him on screen. And then not as well known as George Kittle, though a three-time NBA champion, Kevon Looney, the Golden State Warriors starting center, was there. And I don't know if he's a big wrestling fan or not, but he was reacting to stuff that was making me laugh. Like you could just see on his face, like I think Kevin Owens, maybe it was Kevin Owens, he took the side of the apron bump and I saw Looney's face kind of go, ooh, like that looks like it hurt. But yeah, so we had the two, you know, the two sports stars in the building. There was a Jimmy Garoppolo 316 sign in the crowd that I took a photo of. So great night. I kind of went in there a little trepidatious and I came out going like, holy cow, these guys know how to put on a fun show. And thankfully, the actual show and the in-ring and the wrestling matches and the angles worked well too, because I don't think there was what I would consider to be a bad match on the show, at least live.
No, it's just too long. 3 hours. Like to me, 3 hours is way too long. Still, I know there's good wrestling, but I mean, I felt the same. I felt like the wrestling was the wrestling has been so much better, right, over the last couple of weeks. Every week they just it's a better show as far as wrestling goes. The Dominic stuff was interesting to see how heated the crowd got and how negative they are towards Dominic, which is good. I thought Kevin Owens looked great. You know, you guys did get a good show for sure.
Yeah, I was very happy with the quality of the show. And you know, it's always good to have a build for a pay-per-view because you got to put stuff together. You got to make matches. And the Riddle and Seth Rollins in the fight pit is going to be fun.
Now, you know, they also made Matt Riddle lost the last fight pit. Right, and isn't this his match?
Was that to Thatcher? Is that who did he face in that?
Okay, Thatcher.
But then they also made Bayley and Bianca, which with that crowd did get over really well. So overall, it was a fun night, and I liked the build. Now, the one thing that did not work, and I was wondering what you thought about this, was the Miz TV segment. Like, I think people are just over this thing. Like, Loomis comes out from under the ring, and once his face pops up, I'm just thinking, like, Miz needs to kick this guy right in the face. Nope, he acts like the scared young girl in the horror film, and it's just really stupid. And like, that was the one moment where I was like, okay, they can't sort of get away from this stuff for whatever reason, but I wasn't gonna let that overshadow what I thought was a really excellent show.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show too. You know, another Monday that I didn't say I'm not watching next week, so that's a positive.
Yeah,
you know.
Now, okay, so tell me about this this White Rabbit stuff. What do you think about this White Rabbit stuff?
It has to be Bray, right? I mean, unless they're developing a new character, which we saw the light change during the Alexa match, right?
Yes, I think so. I don't think it's this guy because he just left AEW, but it couldn't be Aleister Black, right? He's
my God, unless they're going to tease it for the infinite time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a spooky guy. He connects to it, but it, you know, Bray Wyatt is fascinating because that character is very complex. The whole Bray, whatever he's doing, right? The Fiend or whatever he's doing. It's always a complex character that he's the master of. It's not like you can plug and play this guy anywhere else. I think the approach seems like it's going to be him. Did you scan the QR code at all?
I did not. I didn't even see it. Like a lot of the stuff, you know, I was getting hit with so many tweets and so many texts. So whenever there was a dead time, I was like just looking at my phone. But as a marketing person, yes. What do you think about this idea? We go back to the Chris Jericho break the code thing, right? From back in the day. Now, you couldn't shoot a QR code for that one necessarily. But now, as a marketing gimmick to get someone excited to go click on this and to try and follow these little clues, like, what do you think about that part of the angle?
Oh, it's brilliant because you just got metrics on viewer interest in a potential, you know, top... If it is Bray, right? Now you know, if we're paying Bray $5 million or $3 million, whatever, you could now gauge the amount of interest people have by scanning the QR code. That's the only reason why they're doing it. Yeah, is it cool that you go to this website and it loads up whatever, you know? I think that's cool. So when you go to the website, the rabbit's playing Hangman, and it spells out, like, we're all dead or we're all killed or something. Like, I forgot what it was. Something, you know. Of the macabre.
What if it turns out to be Randy Orton and he's just tricking us?
What if it's Bad Bunny?
Oh, the Bad Bunny.
White Rabbit.
All right, so a lot of the stuff that Triple H is doing. I had this conversation, and we'll talk about War Games here in a second. It was related to him bringing back War Games. And it is fascinating to me that Triple H's biggest babyface maneuvers as the head of creative is to just basically undo all the things that Vince McMahon did for the last 20 years.
This man waited 20 years, Garrett, to get War Games. 2002, he proposed War Games. That was the thing, right? Because that was the first Hell in a Cell, the first Elimination Chamber, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was 02. So 20 years he's wanted War Games. You know, he's a student of wrestling. He's a big fan of wrestling. Vince hated War Games. And one of the main reasons was that the cell was too short. He hated that because the guys, if you're tall, you're overexposing the little guys because you're hitting the head. You know, your head is on the cage. Like, sit in a War Games match.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But,
like,
you know,
powerbomb Brian Pillman on his head because the cage
on his head in the cage. Yeah, he did a reverse powerbomb, an inverted powerbomb. You just hit your head on the top, not the bottom. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. It's also, talk about marketing. Do you know how many of these ridiculous Mattel toys are going to sell? These War Games toys are going to sell. Already you got hype now for Survivor Series. If this becomes Survivor Series where it's just a War Games match, holy moly, that's fantastic. You just, you know, you got at least another 5 to 10 years of interest because you just revitalized the pay-per-view. And Survivor Series is something that everybody's spoken about, how, you know, it was the, you know, Survivor Series is what got me into wrestling because that was the pay-per-view that my family would order around Thanksgiving, and the whole family would come and we would watch it. That was a thing that we would do every year. So how do you go from being one of the most important parts of your pay-per-view structure to being the forgotten of the big four or the big five now? You got to revitalize it. This is how you do it.
Doesn't it feel a little bit too much like Hell in a Cell, though, where we know the destination is going to have these Hell in a Cell matches, and then we got to backfill the matches? I kind of would have and I understand the marketing of it. They're getting out ahead of it. They're creating excitement. This is all marketing and promotion, and they're excellent at it. But as a fan, as a wrestling fan, I would have loved to see it play out on TV where, you know, the Bloodline against whomever, they just get in this
in
like
War
bizarre,
this
they just get in this crazy feud, and Triple H just comes out and he's like, all right, guys, I've had enough of this. We're going to put you all in a cage. We're going to settle this, you know, for once and all, War Games. I think, and then you do that, the crowd goes nuts and you probably get
100%
the same.
That works. Yeah.
But, you know, but I get why they have to do it the way that they do it now. But do you think, again, from just a visual thing, or not even a visual thing, because we're not seeing Triple H book this stuff. He's just sort of now in the forefront. But I kind of wonder if, like, you know, let's say that back in the day, Triple H goes to Vince. He's like, hey, let's do War Games. And Vince is like, ah, no, I just don't like the way it works. We're copying WCW. Let's do our own. And then he goes to Triple H. He's like, look, when I'm done, you can bring all this stuff back and you'll be a giant babyface. Like, I wonder if that conversation ever happened.
I don't think he's ever said that. I don't think Vince is going to be like, yeah, all these great ideas you have that I think are terrible. Yeah, when I'm gone, go right ahead and do it. I listen, this is, you know, this is strike when the iron's hot. You know, you have this ability to do these things to change the optics of the company. They have always been aware of this company, and it says something about it, right? Like, people think they're inept or they're very disconnected what the fan base wants. They're very connected to the fan base. They understand the importance of optics and the importance of getting ahead of stuff. You know, you just had a major scandal in your company to the point that it ousted your 40 year, you know, whatever, four decade long CEO.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that runs your show, he's gone. What does that say about your brand? You know, this is the way to do it. They've made you forget about this Vince McMahon stuff, and now you're thinking like, well, what else are they going to do? And that's always been the thing that WWE thrived on, is what's next.
But again, I do think there is some strategy here for them to go, look, all of the things that you hated that we've done, taking away people's first names, taking away their actual wrestling names, giving them these funky names, not being able to say belt, not like, those are small things to the big picture. Like, I don't think the casual audience really cares that much about it. But for the hardcore fans, I do think this is a way to make Triple H seem like he is more of a fan-friendly head guy than Vince was. And I think that's really smart. I just have a problem with all of the people thinking that Triple H, that's not a big problem. It's just funny to me that people are, oh, Triple H, he's, you know, look at all the things that he's doing. He's so smart. And it's like, no, he's just undoing like all of these dumb things that Vince did. he will have some creativity and some ingenuity at some point in the future, but I don't think anything he's done now has been pioneering in any way. He's just bringing back people who they fired. He's just bringing back things that the old man didn't want to have, and then now people look at him as a genius. I think it's really smart, but I also think it's kind of funny in how the public, the hardcore wrestling WWE fan, is responding to it.
Well, there's multiple camps here, right? By the way, do you remember the anti-Triple H stuff in, like, obviously the mid-2000s, right? So much. This guy has done a whole 180 on his image. He was known as a guy that would bury you and wouldn't let you, you know, get over and whatever, right? And then he went into more of the creative side. Do you remember when he hired Sin Cara and that experiment failed? Mm-hmm. All the Hunter's detractors were everywhere saying, well, look at his creative ability. This was his guy, and look how it failed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a night and day conversation, right?
Well, I mean, if the old man would have booked Sin Cara like you would book, you know, one of the most over luchadors, you know, in the last 15 years, maybe it would have worked, but he was kind of working against the whole thing. So, okay, so we have Extreme Rules coming. We have the Crown Jewel show coming. What did you think of this Logan Paul, Roman Reigns, starts on the podcast, goes to SmackDown, ends up on the presser? They do a press conference in Las Vegas before the Canelo Triple G fight. What did you think about all of that when it comes to sort of promotion and marketing?
I thought it was smart by WWE. You know, this is, again, post-Vince McMahon WWE. They strategized that they knew people in combat sport and boxing would be in Vegas that weekend, and they took advantage of it. And I think it worked because everybody looked great. I think Roman came off looking like a bigger star than he was, you know, before. I think he came off looking like $1 million to an audience, to media that normally doesn't know or cover what WWE does. You know, boxing media looks at things a little bit differently. Obviously, Logan Paul is the reason why they're there, but I thought everybody looked really good. WWE looked great in this. Now, what do they do with this? I don't know. I don't know if Logan Paul fans are going to stick around after he leaves, but optics, right? WWE term.
It's a great term, great. By the way.
It's a fantastic term. I use it all the time, but because it tells you everything you need to know. It's not about what we do. It's about how it's perceived. Everything is perception. You could have wrestling matches and you could have all this stuff. It's all perception. So if the perception is Logan Paul and Roman Reigns is a main event, and they've convinced you that it is, I think it is in Saudi Arabia. That's definitely a main event. Sure. I think they're doing the best thing right now.
Yeah. I mean, Logan Paul looked at WrestleMania, right? So it's not like he's just, you know, they're just putting a celebrity who can't go in the ring. We've seen it. And this is a show where I think WWE fans know it is in the canon, but it is also the one where they do wacky stuff like bring back old wrestlers, and we may see a Goldberg match, and we may see, you know, Shawn Michaels fall on his head, unfortunately. Like, just they're pleasing a crowd.
I never want to see that match again. I've never rewatched it. I've never rewatched that match, and I never want to.
Do you
want to talk about a big mistake? I think that match was a bigger mistake than the Flair match.
Okay. Do you think, knowing how prideful Shawn Michaels probably is because of how great he was as a wrestler, do you think he kind of goes, you know, I see Ricky Steamboat kind of doing this thing, and just put me in the ring with someone who could go, we'll have a very simple but dramatic match, and that'll be my last match, instead of this match that is like a bad taste in my mouth. I hope for his sake, because they could do something really simple with a really, really good wrestler. Like, just for instance, I'm just throwing this out there, right? AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. That was the name I had in my head. There you go.
AJ and Shawn Michaels could have a 4.5-star match, simple, keep it
20 minutes.
You know, keep it mat based, keep it dramatic. They know all the little secrets and how to get the crowd involved. And let's let Sean go out with that match instead of this what was it? Undertaker and Kane versus him and Triple H.
I believe that's what we would have happened. That's what would have happened if that match didn't fall apart. If Hunter didn't rip his arm off his body, it was a lot of people were under the impression that this is a nice test for Sean to come back and see what he could do. And obviously, look who he's in the ring with. He's in the ring with three people, two definitely that knows how to protect Sean and make him look like $1 million. How can this go wrong? Well, very easily. Triple H rips his arm off and he can't wrestle. And now Shawn Michaels, that hasn't wrestled in years, has to wrestle a banged up Undertaker and a banged up Kane. And there was a point of that match, Garrett. I was sitting in my living room. I was watching it, right? I turned around. My father was watching. I said, there's nothing more bad. Like, what else can happen, right? Like, what else is the worst thing that could happen? And at that moment, Kane's wig just flies right off his head. And he takes that tumble on the outside. He, like, yes. I think somebody, was it Sean? He, like, grabbed him by the hair and his whole piece fell out. I was like, oh, there you go. That solidifies this match. I 100%, I believe he would have probably had that one singles match, maybe with Danielson or maybe with Styles, somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know, look, if maybe that'll come now.
Maybe he's secure enough to go, that one didn't count. My last match was really WrestleMania 26 with The Undertaker, because that was a brilliant match to go out on.
That was a brilliant match. Yeah.
Okay, so let's finish the show talking about the Grand Slam, Dynamite, and Rampage. I mentioned this to you before we started, but Josh Nason, he heard that there was some interview that Tony Khan did. And this version of Tony Khan always makes me laugh. He goes,
I love this. Yeah.
He goes, we're running a lot of great shows around the Northeast. It's so many great wrestling markets in one geographical region. Right. Like, Andrew knows this. He lives in this area. I'll say it. It's the crown jewel of wrestling markets. The real crown jewel of wrestling markets. Not some BS overseas in Saudi Arabia. The real crown jewel, New York City, is where you want to be. Shots Brilliant. Fired.
I'm going to tell you, Tony, listen, somebody from AEW is 100% listening to this. Okay. I'm going to give you a great piece of marketing, right? Go to Jewel Avenue. It's in Queens. Take a crown, put it on top of the sign and take the picture and say, this is the real crown jewel, Queens, New York. Thank you. Let's, you know what? It, here, hold on.
Uh-oh. Where did Andrew go?
I'll lend mine. There we go. All right? I'll lend mine.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, man. He's fired up.
I think that's it. I love that there's only room for one con in this industry, and it's not that con man in Connecticut. I think that is the funniest thing I've ever heard someone say.
He also tweeted, I think it was yesterday, he said, after a great AEW Dynamite with our biggest viewership in 51 weeks ahead of Grand Slam Wednesday, and that was a tremendous rating for them, plus Fulham with a great win Friday, plus Jaguars winning our home opener 24-0, and seeing Adam Cole afterwards, it was maybe the best week I've had, thanks to all of you. And so Tony's living his best life.
Couldn't get any worse than a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Gosh, it's so unfortunate, but like, that's the part of pro wrestling that we would have never really heard about it, you know, 30 years ago, but now it's, the internet plays such a big part.
It would have been on some shoot interview that RF Video would have put out, or Sean Oliver would have gotten it out of somebody. Jim Cornette will talk about it, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's a good week for them. I hope that the rating is solid, because there's some intrigue. Like, if you look at last week's show, that number was really strong. So I hope that they get another big number this week. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect
that number.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this show?
Dude, it looks great. I'm going to be there. Jess is going too. She got us tickets. She knew I wanted to go to this. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go. And she's like, you're going. I bought four tickets. So I'm like, perfect. We're going.
Great.
Listen, it's a very unique venue that has no events other than tennis.
Right.
Is it?
And just had a giant tennis match with Serena Williams' last match.
I was there for the first night I went. How can I not? You know, it's right here. So it's a very unique venue. There was a lot of negativity from last year. I don't think, and I'm telling you guys, don't expect all the concessions to be open. Everybody like was messaging, was like, I was just at the US Open. They got 5,000. I'm like, yeah, but those are all like sponsored stuff. Yeah. And there's like 75,000 people a day that go to the US Open. I think the first night, it was like 75,000 people came on the ground. So you're not going to get the same thing for 14,000, 12,000 wrestling fans. However, they got to step it up because last year was a total embarrassment for that venue. And I think everybody knew, you know, and it wasn't AEW. It was the concessions, the company that handles the concessions. So we're getting a world title match, Garrett. John Moxley, Bryan Danielson.
Great.
Huge. Huge match. We're getting Claudio and Jericho for the Ring of Honor title. We're getting Tony Storm, Britt Baker, Serena Deeb, and Athena for the women's title. We're getting Swerve in Our Glory and the Acclaimed. We're getting an All-Atlantic title match, and plus everything else on Rampage. This can't be a bad show.
Yeah.
However, you know, your execution means a lot here. So,
so what do you do? You were live last year. No, you didn't go to that show last year. No, you did. You did. You went to last year's
show. I left early and I gave Denise the scoop about, she was on the air and I went in the chat and I told her about the TBS title.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right. So last year's show felt really big. Like, did you think that it was like, did it feel like kind of like a landmark wrestling show where you were there live?
100% did. However, I was deeply affected because I was just at All Out, and it All Out was the best wrestling show I had ever seen, you know, as a pay-per-view in person. I mean, it's up there, right?
Yeah, so, what a obvious week. That was like a week later. How later was that? The Grand Slam from
weeks.
All Out last year. Yeah, so
yeah,
like,
same
what,
time.
What a
yeah,
2 weeks worth of
By
wrestling.
By the way, you know what I found? So I found my ticket stub from All Out last year, right? And I also found my ticket stub this is a fun little trivia. I saw CM Punk's debut in WWE and I saw his debut in AEW.
Wow.
His first match.
What was it? What was his WWE debut?
ECW.
Oh.
At the Hammerstein Ballroom, Tuesday, August 1st, 2006. I had unbelievable floor seating. Okay. Unbelievable floor seating. I was by the like two rows behind the ring. How much do you think my ticket was?
$100.
Nope. $35.
Wow.
And it was $164 for All Out.
There you go.
So,
was the mummy on the ECW show, or what crazy science fiction character was on that show?
I don't remember. I know that we got Stevie Richards and somebody in a match. We got Just Incredible and CM Punk. The main event was that main event that they booed. It was Batista versus Big Show for the world title, for the ECW
yes.
title. And
yes. Two WWE guys.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what? At least I got to see CM Punk in his debut.
There you go. Yeah. So the Swerve in Our Glory and the Acclaimed match, I think that's probably going to get an inordinate amount of crowd heat, amount of pops, just because of the Acclaimed, you know, hometown. And I saw Swerve, he's being interviewed, you know, saying, you know, four guys of African-American descent, tag team champions in New York. Like, it's a pretty big deal to those guys, which it should be. But I kind of feel like they really have the chance to steal the night. But I kind of wonder if they'll be able to steal the night. What do you think about that match in front of that crowd?
What time are they putting him on?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing too, right? Because you probably want to save Danielson and Moxley as the main event, but they've flip-flopped those in the past where you put Danielson, you know, you put their actual main event the hour before and then you end with something different.
Okay. There's a match here that I'm very intrigued by, and it's the Ring of Honor World Championship.
That might open just to get Judas sung in the beginning of the show.
I'm here. I'm getting information, by the way. Somebody's listening and they're giving me some info about the show.
Best part of live. We're live, pal.
If Jericho wins this, I would I would feel very confident that Tony has a TV deal in place.
What would it be? Yeah, that's very interesting. Very interesting. And I don't know, like Jericho leading an ROH brand. I mean, let's go back to the optics word again. ROH so far has been some guys with ties to ROH prior, Claudio, obviously, or younger guys like the Pure Title, Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, the tag teams, obviously, with the Briscoes and being in the mix. So that feels right. Does 50-year-old Jericho, former WWE, WCW guy, feel right as Ring of Honor champion? I mean, it's probably the best move as far as publicity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. At the end of the day,
is
like,
it Batista and the Big Show all over again?
It's not quite Batista and the Big Show all over again. How could you say that? Oh, my God. That was the infamous change the channel match. The crowd was chanting, change the channel, F this show. It got hostile at the Hammerstein. Yeah. It got really hostile. I would say, like, if Ring of Honor was on TV, if Ring of Honor had all that talent and Chris Jericho comes in and wins the title, I would say, you know, that's a little bit of a hacky move. That's a panic move. It's not I'm building a product. It's he's a top name. We're putting him on to hot shot the numbers, right? I don't see that as this in this scenario. You don't have TV. Mm-hmm. You're introducing nobody. You know Ring of Honor. I know Ring of Honor. The 200 or so people on YouTube watching this in the chat room know Ring of Honor, or the couple hundred or so on Twitch watching this know Ring of Honor. Nobody knows Ring of Honor. The majority of fans do not. If you're a casual, you don't know what Ring of Honor is. You don't care about Ring of Honor, but you know what you are going to care about when you're flipping the channels. You see Chris Jericho holding a title, and you're like, "Wait a minute! I thought he's in WWE. No, he's not. He's in AEW. Wait a minute, he's here now." That's what you want. You want that thought for people. Should he be Ring of Honor champion for half a year? No, absolutely not. But if you are getting a TV deal and you're trying to build, you know, it's the AEW model, right? You're getting a TV product. You're trying to build your TV, or you're trying to convince someone to give you TV. Look what Chris Jericho did for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
When we first signed up, look at the success on the back of Chris Jericho. We could do it again with Ring of Honor. Give us a TV spot. That's what it really comes out to. And I think that's great. I think that's brilliant.
I definitely agree. He'd be a really strong person to lead. But I wouldn't even say I know ROH very well. Like, you know, I bought DVDs like everybody else, but I want to say they ran like two times in the Bay Area in the whole lifespan of the neighborhood.
Sure. And one of those was
WrestleMania 31 weekend. And that I got to see Samoa Joe against one of the Briscoes. I forgot. Filthy Tom was
Maryland
there.
Right. Maryland, New York, Philly, they're big markets more than anything else. I mean, I've gone to Ring of Honor shows with like nobody, you know. I've gone to Ring of Honor shows in terrible venues. Terminal 5, one of the worst venues to watch wrestling. It was a nightclub and it's multi-layered, so you're like on scaffolding looking down. There is a place for Ring of Honor for sure in pro wrestling. I think it's a necessity. I think it's more places for people to work. It's a different style of work. You know, the pandemic really hurt them, but they did something tremendous during the pandemic and they created, you know, guys like Jonathan Gresham thrived in that company because of the structure that they had where it was more pure wrestling. Chris Jericho will give you eyeballs for sure. I think it's a positive, in my opinion. to put a title on him if you are getting TV. If not, then what does this mean? You just gave Chris Jericho another title on your on AEW. Then it's pointless, in my opinion. I don't like
that.
Who is
that. Charlotte?
Who is he? Charlotte just handing her title? Ah, golden locks like Charlotte.
I have a question for you.
I'm for it.
Yeah, totally. So there was a story that came out, Sean Ross Sapp published on Saturday about the first pay-per-view in 2023.
I coming to the Bay Area. Story. I ruined it, dude.
How?
Did you hear this? So he put it on Fightful Select, right? He put the story on Fightful Select.
Yeah.
And I saw that he wrote, like, I was half reading, right? I saw it said, it was like, 7 hours ago, he posted this. He said, I have a interesting story on Fightful Select coming out, blah, blah, blah. He forgot to publish
it. He said
it
like it was supposed to auto-post or something, and it didn't post. Yeah, something like that.
I didn't know that. So when he made the post, I wrote Moo. And everyone's like, oh, you just scooped his paywall story. Andrew coming, and it was a picture of Cody with the sledgehammer. He goes, Andrew breaking through the paywall. So I felt bad.
So that it was, not to say it was the worst kept secret around here, but there were people who definitely knew something. And so I immediately started to get notes from people going like, I don't know if the pay-per-view is going to be at the Cow Palace. I think the pay-per-view might actually be at Chase, and the TV.
Same thing I heard.
Maybe at Cow Palace. So I'm not saying Sean is wrong. I'm just saying I've heard from local people around
Same
here
thing.
Saying that.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Sean is wrong at all. But how it was said to me was they didn't want to do three nights at the Cow Palace. That's how it was presented. So I don't know if that means that the Cow Palace gets a pay-per-view and somebody else, some other venue gets, you know, Dynamite and Rampage.
If not that Tony needs to ask me about how to do this, just knowing the market that the way that I do, I would have run Dynamite and Rampage at the San Jose State Building, which is the same building that ran that historic NXT show the night before WrestleMania 31. I would have run both of those shows there because it's going to be packed. You're going to sell both of them out. That building is so good for television, all the way back to 1995 Wrestling Challenge and Wrestling Superstars tapings, you know, when they were coming out here. That building is so great for wrestling. NXT used to run it whenever they'd come on the West Coast loop. That's the building I would have done the two tapings on. And then if you want to run the Cow Palace because of the historic, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, just wrestling history in the Bay Area, you can, you know, maybe do the pay-per-view there. But running it at Chase, I think that's going to be a tough one. Not saying that they can't sell out, but last time WWE came here, which was, I think it was the first, they may have been here twice, but I know the first time they came here, post-pandemic, I think they did like 3,000. Out of an 18,000 to 20,000 seat building. Yeah.
Why?
Something like that.
WWE
been five,
was cold.
But,
right. No, but they were a cold. Little cold then. But I would imagine San Francisco, it's not a market that AEW ever go. I mean, the West Coast, I don't know why AEW has totally ignored the West Coast.
Saving it for now, I guess.
I guess now, right? Well, if it is a strategy, you know, they've been historically in East Coast, Northeast territory. I mean, in the entirety, in Florida. Right. Florida, Chicago, New York, Philly, Boston, and then the Carolinas. Like they just run that loop.
And the crown jewel, New York City. Don't forget.
And the crown jewel, New York City. Queens, New York City. Not even Queens. It's Flushing, Queens. It's a very detailed venue.
Yeah, where you are is hot right now, man. The Mets.
I'm in Bayside, baby. But listen, Clinch, every New York team won on Sunday.
The playoffs, yeah.
Mets are going to the playoffs. Yankees going to the playoffs. The Giants won. The Jets won. Thank God they won one. Things are hot right now. But my Mets have clinched. Now, we're not settling on a clinch. This isn't 10 years ago. We're not looking for them to only play 500 ball. We need them to be in first place.
I'm rooting for the Mets on the National League
Thank
side.
You. Thank you. I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people this year are. You know, I have a bet. I have to get a tattoo if the Mets win a World Series. Me and my buddy, Bob Rowe.
What is the tattoo?
we have to get, our bet is that, you know, the thing is, if the Mets win the World Series in our lifetimes, we have to get a Mr. Met tattoo on our ass. So I, there is a good chance I will have a little Mr. Met stick figure on my butt.
You were around in 86. Like, you weren't an, you weren't an older person in 86.
I mean, I was a child, kid. Yeah. No, I was a child, but I have my 86 jacket. My parents have an 86 jacket for me. I almost had it in 2015. They almost did it in 2015, and it was the biggest disappointment ever for me. And now, you know, they're a better team now. So I'm looking very forward to them in the postseason. I already got my tickets. I've committed to so many. That's a lot of money.
That's awesome.
Garrett.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
A lot of money.
Hey, man, it doesn't come around very often. When's the last time they were in the playoffs? Like, 6 years ago or something, right?
6 years. They did the wild card. They hit 2015 was the year, though. That was a real playoff year for them.
Okay.
They played great ball that year.
All right. As we get to the end of this, the one good thing about recording early is we don't have Lance yelling at us to get off, but we don't want to overstay our welcome. So I will just say Dynamite's looking great. Moxley, Danielson, do you have a prediction?
Okay. Yeah. I want to get your opinion on this. If we could go like a couple minutes. I want to know what you think, who you think should win that match.
I think it's Moxley, and it's not because I know anything, only because when he came back on that show after All Out, he basically said, like, he wants to be the ace, right? Like, he wants to be the guy. He wants to be the face of the company. He wants that responsibility. He wants it all on his back. And so when the guy puts it out there like that, I sort of feel like he put that out there for a reason. So I think he's going to win.
I mean, he's won the title 3 times since May.
Yeah.
Right?
He's the one that they keep going back to when stuff gets messed up.
I feel this is a moment for Danielson. I think you gotta do Danielson for sure. This is my thing. Listen, I think whatever they do, they got a plan. I'm just very invested in Danielson getting the title. I would be disappointed as a fan if he didn't, because I like him more than Moxley in this scenario. But I think either or, you know, you have someone that's safe and reliable that's not going to go berserk and stuff his face with muffins during a press conference. So I don't, Danielson is funny to me because I feel like he needs to get that chance with that title, and you don't know when his last match is going to be.
Yeah.
So
I'm fine. I'm 100% fine with Bryan Danielson winning that match. Bryan Danielson is my favorite wrestler to watch wrestle matches. So if he wins, I'm totally fine. But yeah, I was just thinking Mox because of the way that he set himself up on the day after All Out, I keep saying the day after, like it was the Raw after a big pay-per-view, the Wednesday after. And, you know, he put that on his back, and I thought he did it for a reason. Moxley versus MJF seems like it would have a crazy amount of heat when it comes to the building of that match, whenever they do it. And not saying Danielson couldn't, because we know Danielson can rev it up when he needs to, but his character is not that character yet, whereas Mox is, you know, they even tease some stuff that night with Mox and MJF. So yeah, whatever we get is going to be good. Like I don't really have a preference. The tea leaves told me Mox, but if it's Danielson, I'm totally fine with that.
Hey, you also have that MJF wild card, right? Because he has the chip.
Yeah, no, that's what it seems that we're building up to.
Can he cash in? Is it like the Money in the Bank? Can he cash in at the end of the show and pin Moxley or pin Danielson and get the title?
And he's the one who leaves New York with
New
the
York.
Title?
Yeah.
Interesting. That'll be interesting.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are for that chip. And you know what else they're doing? I don't know if I like it or dislike it, okay? They do a lot of these number one contendership stuff, right? Which I kind of like enjoy that you could have a random guy get a number one contendership shot at the title that doesn't follow the I guess the rankings. They haven't updated the rankings in like 2 weeks, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. So I think they're giving up on that ranking. Like Hangman Page is in that match on Rampage, and it's a golden ticket rumble.
Yeah.
Battle Royal. Hangman now gets that. So now you have Hangman with a number one contendership shot. You have MJF with a number one contendership shot. And then you have the actual number one contender, whoever that is, with the ranking. it's a lot going on. It's a lot of moving mm-hmm. parts, but I'm curious if they're going to kind of mix this with maybe go to Hangman and MJF. You know, he could turn around and be like, yeah, but I actually won my golden ticket. You didn't win that casino battle royal. You didn't win that chip. You cheated. So yeah. Now maybe you set up a match between the two of them.
What do you think about all the interviews that MJF was doing the other day?
Oh, great. He's so good. He's so freaking fit. He did a great one with Ariel Helwani. Fantastic.
Yeah. He's excellent at this. Now, you know, this is not The Miz, right? Where The Miz does the PR stuff for WWE because he's got all the patent lines down and he's never going to say anything that's going to get back to the boss. This is actually a little bit more for MJF than it is for AEW, but it still is for AEW because he's so good at these interviews. He's so good at just, you know, one-liners and creating news based off of just talking. He's really good. I'm very interested to see where they go with him because he's still a heel, right? They haven't turned him babyface, and the crowd doesn't want to boo him. They will boo him because he goes low blow when he needs to get booed.
He's in northeastern Queens. I don't know if they're gonna boo him.
No. I don't think they will.
Yeah,
not
northeastern
tomorrow.
Queens kind of. Likes to think we're like North Shore Long Island a little bit, where MJF is from. He's from Plainview. He's from where the money is. So, I think a little bit is that. Maybe we get a little excited that he maybe somewhat represents the goals that we set for ourselves to leave this hellhole of a city and move out to Long Island where humanity is, you know?
There you go. I
say that to myself every day when I get off that train. When I go into Manhattan, I say that to myself. When do I get my golden ticket out of this hellhole? Listen, I think, you know, they have a very unique situation on their hands and they could do something interesting here. Now, the big question is what happens with Kenny and the Bucks? You know, it is kind of disappointing that they have this mega stadium show and you don't have CM Punk, their biggest draw. You don't have Kenny Omega, their second biggest draw. You don't have the Young Bucks, their biggest tag team draw.
Yeah.
You know, it does something.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why they got 13,000 tickets. I think right now there are 12,000.
Do you expect a little bit of a walk up?
I think you're going to get a couple last minute because I know a lot of people messaging me now that are like, hey, are you going? Because I'm thinking about going. Should I go? I'm getting a lot of that today. I'm like, yeah, man, you should go. Have a good time. I'll be out the door by 9:40. See you guys later.
Grand Slam Crown Jewel.
Grand Slam Crown Jewel.
All right. So, so we're done here. So, should be some good stuff happening this weekend. And maybe we'll see even a little bit of tease of whatever this bunny thing is, or the rabbit thing is, this weekend as well. So, should be an excellent week of professional wrestling. We already had the really good Raw. And the rest of this week should be really, really solid. So the fans.
And SmackDown had very high ratings, right? The numbers were.
No, I think
really
they were down. I think they were down from like whatever the last number was.
Look at that! I didn't even pay attention to it. 2.2 million they did. Yeah. I think it was 2.3 the week prior.
Yeah, God,
that's a lot of people, man. 2.2
still
million
a lot of people watch that
night.
Show. Yeah,
you know, and I got to tell you, Rampage, like. Yeah, are the numbers bad? Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you mean by bad, but 470,000 people at 10 o'clock
10
at night.
O'clock at night.
On a Friday, you know, and you could tell, look at their demo, 18 to 49, 0.14. What 18 to 49 is watching, you know? Interesting stuff. I think the bigger story here is the 18 to 49 being a 5-0 for, I mean, that's being in the fives is where you want to be. That means that you're really resonating with that key demo.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if people. Do you think people watch Rampage at the bars?
Like, I used to watch Dynamite at the bars. Dynamite is on at the bars. Well, when it was on TNT, I don't know about. I think the TBS thing kind of messed it up a little bit. But I would always, because I was never home to catch it live. I would always stop at the bar and watch a little bit, and then I would leave.
Got it.
In the early days, so. That it is interesting. I'll tell you, Monday night, Raw is not on the bars.
No. I've seen SmackDown at bars every once in a while. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I just wonder because, you know, now they're counting all that stuff in the Nielsen ratings as well.
How are they counting that?
I don't even know. But I know that they're counting, what are they counting? Bars, they're counting airports, they're counting like Buffalo Wild Wings spots and stuff.
Yeah, but how do you do that? Are you doing like an estimate of how many people may be watching in the venue?
Yeah, because the thing just goes like there's no one to change the channel. It's just staying on the whole time, whether people are watching or not.
And I'll tell you, a lot of this has to do with pay-per-view draws, right? Like the Canelo fight over the weekend. That pay-per-view was double the amount for venues that it normally should be. That pay-per-view normally should be about, like, someone like me, right? With, like, a venue that I'm familiar with. They would pay probably $2,400 for that. They wanted $4,900 for that Canelo.
Wow. That's crazy.
They had to order because people want to see it.
Yeah.
Was it $5,000 worth? No, it wasn't $5,000 worth, but I think it's becoming harder to justify those kind of pay-per-view buys. So they have to have some sort of metrics there to kind of justify the price.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're going in there blind. Crazy. You don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, $4,890. That was the price. Huh. I know some people that paid $15,000, $20,000 for it.
Jeez. Is that just for the bigger venues if you had like multiple screens or something?
Yeah. So it goes based on your size. Also, there's a fight this weekend. There's a boxing fight. There's a Mayweather fight this weekend.
Oh, is that the one in Japan?
Yeah, but the start time is 11 p.m. East.
Interesting.
How are they doing that?
I don't know.
What's the time difference?
I don't know. I know this during G1, but once G1's over, I forget what the time difference
is. Yeah, like I like watching New Japan, you know, any of those shows, like I know that I could tune in at like 6 o'clock in the morning and it's still on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes depending, but I guess they moved it. It's an earlier fight. It's 14 hours, the difference. So you're talking about, man, that's wild. So it's an early fight in Japan.
Hmm. That is weird.
All right. We don't have Lance to yell at us. So we went 10 minutes over today, guys. Yeah.
We're good. We're good, though. We went early and want to give people a little bit extra because of my my appointment later today. It kind of screwed with our normal show. But yeah, so great week again in wrestling. You've already done Mattmen, so we don't even have to promote that because you're not doing two Mattmens this week, are you?
I'm doing another Mattmen on Friday. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're doing two Mattmen.
Yeah,
does that mean you get two paydays?
I got two paydays. Yeah, look
there
at that. Isn't that
go.
Amazing?
That's what it's about.
I skipped last week. No paydays for John.
Producer John in
no
the
paydays
background there.
Producer John, the best producer in podcasting. I'm doing two shows. I didn't do one last week. I didn't do a Mattmen last week.
Got so it. Now so we got a little bit of a makeup. And then John and I will be up Thursday morning. That show, Wednesday night, sometimes it'll be up in the RSS, but usually we're done around midnight. So more so Thursday morning. And I'll talk a little bit more about the live Raw on the Fight Game podcast. And then we're going to like recap Dynamite. So
cool.
We'll do that. And then Wrestling Observer Radio, more than likely with Dave on Friday. And then you have Sunday Wrestling Observer Live. Any ideas for a guest yet?
It's going to depend on what happens on Wednesday. So depending, I shift it, depending accordingly. Like if something mega happens, obviously I'm going to give Big Dave Meltzer a call.
Oh,
and be like, hey, Dave, can you come on? If not, I have a couple of people I got to get in touch with that come on. I have a great question here. Is Andrew an Observer Hall of Fame voter? If so, would he vote for Roman Reigns? It depends who's on the ballot. Right? Doesn't it always come to that? Would you vote for Roman in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. And I know that's a little unpopular because there's so many folks who are not in yet.
Yeah.
But I don't vote, especially for the historical folks. Unfortunately, it's not like professional baseball where I can go, okay, I don't know too much about this guy. I'm just going to go do 2 hours of research to figure, like it's much harder to do for pro wrestling. So when it comes to where I vote, I kind of stick to my guns on the areas that I know really well. And one of those areas is current professional wrestling. And I vote for him because I think if the top guy in the biggest wrestling company, the most profitable wrestling company ever, not that it is on his shoulders, but he's the guy, I think he's got to be in, or else this sort of era yeah. of wrestling doesn't look too great.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't know. It depends who's on the ballot. Right? Is somebody coming off?
That would yeah, I mean, I've been yes on Edge and Randy Orton for ever since I got a ballot. So I'm voting for them always. Punk is an interesting one, though, because he's been hurt. Like, if he had a great yeah. year this year, I think he would have got a lot of votes. But because he's been hurt, and then because now he's hurt again, and he would have been suspended if he didn't get hurt again, like,
yeah,
I don't think you can put him in based off of this last year.
Yeah. Sorry, I derailed your ending. So sorry, Garrett.
No, we're good. All right, that's it. So we'll be around all week. You'll hear from us and you'll see us. So for Andrew, yes. I am Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.